But every one of you, you are a big deal for God because you have a purpose, you have a destiny that he will give reason for your life. So what we're going to do in the next few weeks, today is just an introduction. What we're going to do today is ask this question, what is destiny about? Rick Warren wrote an international bestseller called The Purpose-Driven Life. 40 Days of Purpose. People who were followers of Christ, people who were not followers of Christ, read that book because there's something crying out, what is my purpose? And here's the other thing. My brother, I spoke with him yesterday. And by the way, today's my birthday. I don't look 47, do I? It's because I'm 55. Ah, there we go. So I talked to my brother, and he is at the point of retirement. If everything goes well, he's planning on retiring by the year 2020 at the first of the year. And so my question for my brother is this, so what are you going to do after retirement? And he goes, I'm going to sit down for a month and do nothing. And his wife said, he's going to sit down for a week and do nothing. All right? My father-in-law, if you're at that place of retirement, do you realize that one of the most difficult things you have, and what's next? You live a life of purpose. You live a life of intentionality. And then you just sit and play golf all the time? Boring. So I have made this vow to God. I'm never going to retire. She, as a good pastor's wife, said, yes, honey, yes. I might not pastor the rest of my life, but I'm not going to retire. Because as we talk about destiny, there's two things I want us to understand. First of all, destiny is not about you. The way God has created us is that our destiny is found in helping other people. And when we help other people, we discover our purpose. We get fulfilled when we serve others. So we got to redefine the question. It's not this, what is my destiny? That's not the question. The question is, how can I bless others? And in blessing others, I find fulfillment in my life. As long as I'm looking for, man, what is that? What is my destiny? What's it about? Then we will never be fulfilled because it's not about us. It's about us. As we serve other people, we find the fulfillment that God has created us for. The other thing I really appreciate, Bill Johnson says this when it comes to destiny and purpose. Bill Johnson is the pastor of Bethel Reading, and he says, what do you want to do? Well, I want to be a doctor. Great, then be a doctor, but help other people. I want to be a housewife. Great, be a housewife, but help other people. That it's not your profession that's going to find your destiny. It's not your vocation that's going to find your destiny. Your destiny is found in Christ. Now, let me say this. Let me add this one more thing, and then we'll get into the Bible real quick. I understand we went a little bit longer in worship and just kind of rested in the Father's presence. But let me say this. There's a difference between your vocation and your occupation. Your vocation is what you do. And in today's world, this generation, before they retire, most of the people in this generation are going to have 12 different jobs or 12 different vocations. So the day of when a person goes into one company and he works there his whole life and then retires, those days are pretty much over. Right now, we have people coming in and out of jobs. And as we were talking about last night, Deb said she's had 7 different vocations in her life. So a vocation is what you put on. Your occupation is who you are. So in a vocation, you go do something, but your identity and your destiny and your purpose is not going to be discovered by your vocation. And yet too often we are identified by, hi, I'm Mike. I'm Bill. Hi, Bill. Bill, what do you do for a living? And we identify the two. That's your vocation. You put it on. Your occupation is as you serve people and bless people, that's how you find your destiny. So let me say this. Very few of us, if any of us, are going to find a perfect job where we're going to find fulfillment in our job. The job is a job. That can change, but your occupation doesn't. So the Apostle Paul, as we're going to be looking at his life, the Apostle Paul, he was a tent maker. That was his vocation. It wasn't his occupation. The Apostle Paul was a teacher. That was his vocation, not his occupation. He was a mentor. That was his vocation, not his occupation. He had a prison ministry. That was his vocation, not his occupation. And so we got to understand, as we find destiny, no matter where we're at, it's not about us. It's about us serving others and who we are, and then we find fulfillment of God. And I'm going to try to bring this out in Scripture. So can you go with me real quick to Galatians chapter 1? And we are actually almost finished with our teaching. So somebody do this with me today. Do this again. Do this. Now do this. I think I'm going to make you uncomfortable the next few weeks. But that uncomfortable is good, okay? So go with me, Galatians chapter 1. Here's the Apostle Paul. Let's look at his life. Let's look at his, how the transformation take place. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I'm in verse 11. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, here's verse 13. Listen to this transformation that takes place in his life. From it's about me to it's about others. He says, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Wow. Paul always was able to talk about the pain he caused and the pain he was in. It was beautiful that he shared that. Verse 14, listen, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. So here's Paul. I am on the fast track to success. Paul was up and comer, man. Paul was on that ladder, and his vocation was a Pharisee. He was a religious teacher, and he was zooming past everybody else's home age. In fact, he set himself up for success because he had the number one teacher of the Pharisees in Judaism that day. His name was Gamaliel. And if you had Gamaliel as a teacher and as a mentor, you are on the fast track to success. So Paul goes, man, I'm advancing. I am going quicker than anybody else. He had the best resume of anybody. Philippians chapter 3, where he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He was perfect in all of his religious activity. Paul had the resume. He had the drive. He had the connections. He had everything put in place where he is going for it and he's going to be successful. But look what he says next. He says in verse 15. Oh yeah, read it with me, would you guys? Let's all read together. Let our voices be heard. But when God, stop right there. But when God who set me apart from my mother's womb, God set you apart from your mother's womb. Psalm 139 says that before you even took a breath, before you were a sparkle in your dad's eyes, before you were even born, God knew you. So Paul, who was a guy, here's his testimony. I persecuted the church. I was killing people. I was having them thrown in prison. But yet God still, because this is who God is, set him apart. Even though he wasn't living the life, he was set apart by God for a purpose. Read again with me out loud. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased, next slide, to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. So here's the point. Paul had his 5, 10, 15 year plan and he's working it. He is zooming up to the top, but it wasn't his destiny. So what happens? God encounters him and Paul goes from this guy who's zooming to the top to where he now is this guy who says, my destiny is to love Gentiles. Now, for us, that might be a big deal, but think about it with me for a moment. Pharisees did not like Gentiles. Pharisees, unless they converted, Pharisees didn't want any association with Gentiles. What is God doing? God is loving Paul so that he can love people he never loved before. And now what is Paul doing? His destiny is not to be this. His destiny is to preach to Gentiles that God loves them. Don't miss this. Don't miss, among the Gentiles. Don't miss that. That was a huge transformational way of thinking for Paul. From a Pharisee who isolated himself to the Jews to a guy who is now associating and loving Gentiles, even to the point where they're persecuting and they're trying to kill him. God did such a transformational work in his life that he now is serving those people that as a Pharisee, he would never have any relationship with. So here's a question for you, and here's what the Father's doing in my life. Who do you not really like? What kind of people group that you would go, eek? What kind of people group that you would rather not associate with? Could it be that God's purpose for your life is to love those people that you normally wouldn't associate with? You guys okay today? Deb and I were given a lady who's really accurate in prophecy, prophesied a word over our life that when she told us this word, my first response was, uh-uh. Because what she said, I'll tell you what she said. You and your wife are going to be involved in government, politicians. Okay, no offense. If you're in political, I don't watch the news right now because I just get tired of politicians, right? And now I'm hearing this word, God wants you to support government people. Again, if you're in government, that's not a you issue. It's a me issue. That part of being destiny that God will more than likely, I've seen it time and time again, call you to love people that you can't love naturally. He's going to call you to love people that you would rather not associate with. He's going to call you to love people that think differently. He's going to call Republicans to love Democrats. He's going to call Christians to love non-Christians. He's calling us to a destiny that it's all about loving people. And as you do that, you're going to find fulfillment in your life. But as long as you're asking, what is my destiny? How am I going to get ahead? How is it going to be about me? It will never, ever, ever, ever work, because we weren't created for just ourselves. We are created by God to love people. And when we love people, we walk into destiny. But it's not about you and it's not about me. And this is why we might be a little bit uncomfortable, because life is like a box of chocolates sometimes. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what fully is going to happen. But we sang about it today. He loves us, right? But that love is supposed to be something else. It's not just received, it's that love that's given. And then as we give our love, guess what happens? We find fulfillment in our life. We find purpose in our life. We find destiny in our life. So Paul goes from I'm advancing to I'm serving. I'm an up-and-comer to I'm one who's loving people I don't even like. But see, guys, when we love people that we don't normally love, then we receive a supernatural love from God that goes beyond our ability. What's your vocation? Your vocation is whatever job you have right now. What is your occupation? To love people. And as you love people, it doesn't matter what your vocation is. Paul could say, listen, I'm a tent maker for a while. Paul could say, I didn't have enough food to eat. Paul could say, I didn't have clothes to wear. Paul said, I didn't have a place to live. This is not what we're about. Your destiny is not about what you possess, what you own, the car you drive, the house you live in. Those are all fine, but they will not bring fulfillment. Only what will bring fulfillment. I'm loving others. And as I love others, I walk into my purpose. Okay, last verse. Somebody smile at me. It's my birthday. You know, if you want, yeah. Please don't sing. No, really. Oh, yay. I like that better than the happy birthday, children crying, people dying, happy birthday, right? I like that much better. Let's finish with this thought. Ephesians chapter 3, remember, Paul went from I'm the guy to I'm just a servant. I've been called. He's changed from I'm going here to I'm just loving people. I'm loving people I don't even like. I'm loving people that I didn't have a relationship with. I'm called to the Gentiles. Who's your Gentile? Who's that person that you just don't normally love? Maybe God's calling you to love them. Maybe God's calling you to show grace to them. Maybe God's showing you just to reach out. Someone who's not like you, who doesn't think like you, who doesn't act like you, who doesn't believe like you do. That's okay. Just love them. Accept them. Bless them. Honor them. Help them. So Paul says in 3:7, and we're going to chapter 4, verse 7, 8, and then we're going to be done. He said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles. Here we go again. This is the grace that was given to him, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Okay, now go to chapter 4, verse 7. He says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Now, here's what we're closing with. Next week, Josh Pallon's going to share, because this is something that's really passionate for him. Josh is with Hope. Josh does our healing rooms. Josh is a great brother. So he's going to come next Sunday morning, and he's going to add his voice to this. And then we're going to pick it up afterwards on the next Sunday. I'll pick it back up. But here's the point. You and I, we are saved by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. That's common grace, that everybody has been saved by grace and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, lest no one can boast. When Paul says we all come into the relationship with God the same way with grace, that is a common grace for every person. When he's talking about Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 4, is that there is a grace gift that's been given to each and every one of us to serve other people, that you have something within you. It's a grace gift that God has imparted and given to you before you were born so that you can now love people. You can help people. You can serve people. And what the beauty of it is this, that Paul understood that his grace gift was to reach Gentiles. And as he operated in his grace gift, we see that thousands and thousands and thousands of people were converted to Christ. So understand that we are all saved by grace, but we're all given a grace gift. So we're going to study this out. We find this in Romans chapter 12. We find it in 1 Peter chapter. We find it here in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at that you and I have been given gifts to serve and to love and to help other people. As we walk in those gifts, we find our purpose and our destiny. As we understand that it has already been given to you, that you don't have to ask for it. It's been given to you by God, and he's going to let us discover that you have been peculiarly made and created with gifts to help the world. And as you walk in those gifts, you're going to feel purpose and destiny. So I know what Deb and I, our grace gift is. I know what it is. We know what it is. We've been operating our whole life. Our grace gift is this. We are rebuilders. We take things that are broken and we fix them. We're not entrepreneurs. I love Pastor Jeff. He's a planter. His grace gift is he plants and he goes after. That's not my grace gift. My grace gift and Deb and our grace gift is that we fix things. That is, what's that? Yeah, as long as it's not like a car. If you know the Bible, Nehemiah, that's our guy. We are like, Nehemiah goes, whoosh. So we look through the lens of our grace gift. How can we rebuild? How can we restore? How can we renew? How can we take relationships that are not functioning well? And how can we come alongside them and rebuild them and make them well? How can we take people and lives and just come alongside and be a father and a mother and say, we're here to help restore and rebuild. What our greatest joy is that when people that we associate with, they rise and go further than us. They're like children, like our kids. Doesn't matter how old they are, but they go higher and greater than we are. We love to see people get it that God loves them, and they just start blossoming in their relationships. They start blossoming in their lives. That's what, as you can see in my face, that's what we get excited about. And do you know how fun it is to know your gift? It makes life then go, I know what I'm called to. When I love people, as we're loving people, as we're serving people, God brings people our way all the time who are saying, man, I just don't get it. I get it. Well, let us walk with you. We just want to see you blessed. We want to see you prosper. We want to see you move forward in life because we really do. That's our grace gift. That's what we love. And that's how we feel fulfilled. If we were not pastors of a church, if I was working at Walmart greeting you and put a happy sticker on your forehead, we would still be doing the same thing because this is who we are. So everybody look me in the eye for a moment. Do you know who you are? Do you know who your grace gift is? Do you know what God's called you to do? Listen, it's going to be other people. It's going to be loving, right? It's going to help others. But there's something that's like, man, this is my sweet spot. This is it. I know it. Man, I just... And Paul goes, mine is, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. That's my sweet spot. That's where I just go, yeah, this is what it's all about. And so if I'm persecuted, it doesn't matter. I'm in my sweet spot. If I'm shipwrecked, doesn't matter. I'm in my sweet spot. If people don't, it doesn't matter. I'm in my sweet spot. So it doesn't matter what's going on in here. When you live in your sweet spot, it's like, yeah, this is what I was made for. This is my purpose. This, God, bring it, man, because I am in my sweet spot. And it's so much more than how much money you bring home. What's nice house you live in? That's fantastic. I pray you all get the biggest house in the valley. Yes and amen. How cool that would be. But is it your sweet spot? Stand with me if you will. I'm really excited about this message, as you can see, because it's not something I'm teaching. It's something I'm living. Deb and I are just, Deb, come stand with me on my birthday. She's got my birthday lunch in the oven, so I'm about to dismiss her quickly because I want my chicken Alfredo to be perfect, right? Homemade chicken Alfredo, just because she loves me. You're all not invited. More for moi. It's my birthday. I can be selfish. As we go on this journey, some of you already might know what your sweet spot is. If you don't, let's learn. It brings life. Some of you are tired because you've been doing dishes all the time. Like, I can do dishes. But if all I do is dishes, that gets boring, right? needs to be done. I need a vacuum, but I wasn't created to vacuum and do dishes. I've been created for a sweet spot, and so have you. So have you. And it's like, it's not your vocation. It's not if you just get the right job. That's cool. That could be part of it, but that's not what it's about. It's about, this is what I was created for. God set you apart from birth for a very specific purpose. So would you lift your hands with me for just a moment? Deb and I want to bless you right now. Father, we bless our wonderful family, how we love them. God, as they've blessed me on my birthday, I bless them back in Jesus' name. And God, you have got us in a fantastic place. You have got us, Lord, in this position of that we are walking in our sweet spot. And it's something different, Lord, than what we have known before. And we say yes and amen. God, for too long, we've just been trying to plug holes, saying we need this, we need that. And we'll plug a hole here, plug a hole there, and we do it because we're faithful. We do it because we're kind. And sometimes, Lord, we do the dishes that way by just serving, and that's beautiful. But God, you've also created us for a sweet spot. And that sweet spot is our destiny and our purpose. And that sweet spot is not about us, it's about other people. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, as you are showing and have shown Deb and I our sweet spot, that God, throughout this congregation and beyond, that there would be this rising up of going, I know my purpose. And then when you got purpose, you got energy. You don't burn out. You don't wear out. You just have energy because you're flowing in love. You're flowing in your purpose. You're flowing, God, in your sweet spot. And so Deb and I today, we bless our family. We bless them today. And Lord, we pray for particular insight of what their destiny and purposes are in Jesus' name. Would you agree with me by saying yes and amen? Yes and amen. So let's go on journey together. It's not going to be about us. It's going to be about other people. Bless you. Have a great day. Love you a lot.